There should be a name for something like this, by Scoozy Pants. Hypothetically speaking, okay. Brendan nodded from his position on the floor, leaned into the couch cushion, elbow up against Ryan's thigh, chin cupped in his hand. So, hypothetically speaking, are you listening? Hey, do you even know what hypothetical means? Ryan asked skeptically, cocking his head. Yes, listen. Spencer. Ryan stared at him some more. Finally, he said, dude, that isn't hypothetical. We have a Spencer. He even came with his own drum kit. Brendan climbed up on the couch. No, hypothetically speaking. He waved a hand. Do you think Spencer would go out with me? Ryan burst out laughing. Brendan frowned. That wasn't really the answer he was looking for. Then Ryan gasped, oh, wow, yeah, you have to ask him now. I mean, seriously, between giggles. And Brendan fought off the urge to bitch slap him. Ryan Ross, you are so mean, he said. And then he slumped down and pressed his cheek into Ryan's shoulder. Mean. Totally, unreasonably mean. Spencer would so go out with him. He was adorable. Hypothetically, no. Brendan blinked at John. That was a really decisive no, dude. I'm a decisive guy. Brendan was not entirely sure that was true. He narrowed his eyes. You don't even know what I was going to say. Hypothetically speaking, John said without looking up from his book, I don't think Spencer will go out with you. You're lying. Hypothetically, John smiled, I'm not. Brendan scowled and folded his arms on the table, dropping his head to dig his chin into his wrists. I totally know what that word means, John. Brendan was smart. I know you do. He ruffled Brendan's hair, and Brendan huffed but leaned into John's palm, closing his eyes. He's pretty, Brendan murmured, and he smells nice. Both really good qualities, I agree. Brendan cracked an eye open, just to make sure John wasn't making fun of him. John gave him his you'll never be able to pin that shit on me grin. Did you eat all my oatmeal? You'll never be able to pin that shit on me, John said earnestly. He was like a politician, only with better hair and cooler belts, except he wasn't like a politician at all. You could pin it on Ryan, though. He could pin a lot of things on Ryan, including his penchant for bedazzling random shit in the back bedroom. Bedazzling was awesome, especially when John didn't realize he'd spelled out hot stuff on the back of his favorite jacket with glittery pink rhinestones. Although Spencer was almost girl pretty and had a pleasing aroma, those were not the reasons Brendan wanted to know if Spencer would date him. Also, Brendan was totally not going to actually ask Spencer out, thus the hypothetical part in hypothetically speaking. He just wanted to know if, under certain circumstances, he were to ask Spencer out, would Spencer, in fact, say yes? Chiefly, he wanted to know this because Pete refused to make out with him. Or, well, sort of, in a roundabout way. Brendan had said hi, and Pete had said hi, and Patrick had made a growly sound from the other end of the couch, and then Pete had said, I don't want to make out with you, right to his face. You lie, Brendan said, aghast. And Pete had shaken his head and insisted, I totally don't. I'm like ice. I'm like Spencer Smith. And that was a challenge if he'd ever smelled one. Give me your honesty, Ryan, Brendan said, sprawling out on the bed. Ryan groaned and pulled the covers over his head. Go away. But I just need somebody to agree with me. He tugged the comforter back and wriggled underneath, shoving his feet under Ryan's legs. That's the complete opposite of my honesty. Ryan yawned and turned over, narrow back to his front. Sides, my honesty and you don't even get along. Brendan conceded the point. Ryan's honesty was sort of bitchy. He slipped off his glasses and curled into a pillow. Can I sleep here? He asked, snuggling close, because he was cold and he hated being cold. Ryan was skinny and cold, too, but he was better than nothing. Do I have a choice? Ryan's voice was muffled. No. He'd asked merely to be polite. Brendan Urie, adorable and polite. Seriously, how could Spencer resist him? Give me a reason. What? Brendan snapped his fingers in front of John's face. I need a reason. Give me one good reason why Spencer wouldn't go out with me if I asked. John said, he's straight. That's not a reason. Brendan rolled his eyes. So are you. John stared at him. What? Oh, you're saying, dude. Brendan shook his head, giggling. John narrowed his eyes. Brendan. Wait, wait. He held up a hand, gasping through laughter. Wait, no, seriously. Give me a real reason. You're annoying? But that's part of my charm, Brendan protested. He was endearing and cuddly and... You have a problem with observing personal boundaries, John pointed out. Spencer's a big fan of those. Huh. That was, unfortunately, probably true. As an obstacle, though, it wasn't anything he couldn't work through, for purely hypothetical purposes. Brendan was settled on the opposite side of the room from Spencer, legs pulled up and hands wrapped around his knees. Spencer was eating cereal. What are you doing? Ryan asked, looming over him. Spencer watching. Ryan arched his eyebrows. I'm giving him his space, Brendan clarified. And then Spencer raised his voice and said, If you don't stop staring at me, I'm going to punch you in the head without looking away from the TV. Ryan squeezed into the recliner with Brendan and whispered, Seriously, Brendan, just ask. I'm trying to prove a point, Brendan insisted. This isn't, like, real or anything. Why the hell not, Ryan hissed. Suddenly Spencer's best friend, Ryan, hackles up. He got all pissy and offended, like he didn't actually believe Spencer would punch Brendan in the head if he tried to grope him. This is Spencer, Brendan said slowly. And me. We have no sexual tension. Ryan snorted. Spencer has sexual tension with everyone. Brendan paused. Huh. That argument probably would have worked better if he'd said Brendan had sexual tension with everyone. Brendan occasionally even had sexual tension with himself. Skeptical but open-minded, he asked, Really? Ryan nodded solemnly. It's the hips. Really? How intriguing. If you don't stop talking about me, Spencer said, this time pinning Brendan with a dark glare, I will punch you in the head. Hips, huh? Say, Brendan said, there's this boy. Is he handsome? Brendan nodded, realized Pete couldn't see him through the cell, and said, Yes. Yes, he is, and he's totally cool, too, and... Is he me? No. He's funny and smart and... Seriously, is he me? He's not you, okay? He's just... Brendan cut off, frustrated, and he was hardly ever that frustrated. So he wondered what that said about the whole situation. Is he Patrick? Pete asked, and Brendan hung up on him. Spencer had really nice hips and hands, and he smelled good, even when he was all sweaty. Brendan wanted to push his nose into the crook of his neck, but that would involve invading his personal space, and Brendan wasn't doing that anymore. Brendan was also suspiciously close to brooding. He did not like it. I'm brooding. Saying you're brooding negates any actual brooding, Ryan said. He scribbled something in his notebook, bit the end of his pen, then asked, What rhymes with constituent? Pants. Ryan looked up at him. You could try being helpful, you know. I'm brooding. Ryan sighed and dropped his pen. What's wrong? Everything. He tugged his hood up and curled into the corner of the couch, sock feet burrowing into the cushions. Spencer won't go out with me. You asked? Ryan looked startled. No. Then how? You said he wouldn't go out with me. No, I told you to ask him, Ryan stressed. Brendan nodded emphatically. And you laughed, like evilly. I could read between the lines. Ryan coughed, fist to his mouth, and eyes sparkling, then said, Dude, you really can't. Seriously, I told you. What did you tell him? Spencer asked, ambling into the room. Ambling was a good look for him, what with the hips and everything. Nothing, Brendan said, lower lip jutting out. Spencer sat down next to Brendan, darting a narrow gaze between him and Ryan. Okay, he drew out, and then, in a weird, un-Spencer-like move, shifted up against Brendan's side, snaking an arm around Brendan's bent leg. Hi. Hi, Brendan breathed. Wow. Spencer was totally pretty up close and warm. You've been avoiding me. Have not, Brendan automatically countered. Watching yearningly from a distance was not the same as avoiding. Spencer stared at him, hard. Then he said, Okay, again, and leaned his head onto Brendan's shoulder, fingers tapping soft rhythms against his jean-clad calf. Brendan's heartbeat matched them, and it took just about a minute for him to relax into Spencer's touch. John grinned down at Brendan, a wide, I-know-something-you-don't grin. Brendan hated that grin. Well, when it was aimed at him, at least. I've changed my mind, John said. About what? Brendan was breathing hard, fingers curling into John's biceps. John had trapped him, but the move he'd made had clearly been illegal, and Brendan was considering sticking his hands down John's pants in retaliation. About Spence. Brendan grunted and slid a leg up to wrap around John's waist, flattening a palm against his chest and pushing. John didn't budge, so he decided to play dead instead and flop bonelessly back onto the carpet. You changed your mind about Spencer? John nodded. Yep. He still didn't budge. What, you don't like him anymore? Brendan asked. He bit his lip, weighing the pros and cons of kneeing John in the balls. Brendan tipped his head back and spotted Spencer over the top of John's hair. I will give you $100, Brendan said, if you pants John right now. Spencer arched an eyebrow. 15 minutes later, John Walker was trussed up under the coffee table with his pants around his knees, his t-shirt pulled up over his face, and his hands tied behind his back with something that looked suspiciously silky and Ryanish. Brendan and Spencer made an excellent team. This, Brendan found, was strangely elating and depressing at the same exact time. Spencer, Brendan whispered, creeping into the bedroom. The digital clock flashed 4:32 a.m. Spencer didn't answer him. Brendan grinned to himself and padded over to the bed. He was going for some free cuddles. Awake sometimes, not always. Spencer was prickly about cuddles, and Brendan was close to going into withdrawal. It'd been nearly a week since Spencer had wrapped an arm around his leg, leaning into his side, and Brendan had been so good, too. No hands in inappropriate places, no over-enthusiastic squeezes in return. He said, "I'm going to cuddle with you now," in a low hush before slipping under the covers. Fair warning. And Spencer rolled over onto his back and murmured, "Bren?" "Shh," Brendan said. "Sleepy time." He spread a hand on Spencer's stomach and closed his eyes against Spencer's cheek, forehead touching his temple. Spencer turned his head towards him, his breath minty sweet and stale and dry, and Brendan whispered, "Spencer." "Hmm?" Their noses brushed, and Brendan smiled. "Nothing." It was the best idea Brendan had ever had, ever. The best. Sleepy Spencer was warm and malleable and soft and didn't mind having Brendan's nose in his neck or his hands up his shirt, and Brendan was much, much happier during the day. During the day, he could sprawl on John and hold hands with Ryan and grin at Spencer from across the room. Most times, Spencer would eye him back warily. Sometimes he'd threaten to punch Brendan in the head, which, you know, lost more and more meaning the more he said it anyway. But there was an underlying thread of confusion in the words that made Brendan grin wider. After the third morning of waking up in Spencer's bed, Spencer stopped asking for excuses and Brendan stopped giving them. After the third night of sleeping in Spencer's bed, Brendan stopped waiting till the small hours and climbed in whenever he felt like ending his evening. Spencer was still up, propped up on two pillows, reading a book. He watched over the brim as Brendan settled down next to him, curling an arm around his waist and snuffling into his thin t-shirt covering his ribcage. He smelled like downy. "So," he said, "you're sleeping here now." "Yep," Brendan patted his hip. "You're comfy. You won't be up too much longer, right?" Spencer bit his lip. "No?" "Good." He sighed and closed his eyes, the lamplight painting the underside of his lids a dark red. Spencer shifted, his book pages rustling, and then Brendan felt a hand fall high on his back, just under his nape, thumb curled into the short hairs. "So you're sleeping with Spencer now," Ryan said over his steepled fingers. John had his hands on Brendan's shoulder, keeping him in his seat. Brendan squirmed a little, but John just pressed down harder. There was a wolf whistle and a "way to go, Yuri" from Ryan's sidekick. "You've got Pete on speakerphone?" Brendan asked, incredulous. Why would they have Pete on speakerphone? Pete, Brendan thought, would be wholly unhelpful in an intervention, and he was pretty sure they were having some sort of intervention. Ryan had on hobo gloves and a rosette choker. Pete laughed loud, then he said, "I'm here to make sure you don't break up the band with your forbidden love, and can I be the best man?" And, "Oh no, wait, I want to officiate. Let me officiate. I'll get a collar and everything, or hold on, is that sacrilege?" "Patrick," his voice sounded farther away, "would that be sacrilege? You're Catholic and shit, right? Patrick's a nice wee little Irish Catholic name." Ryan groaned and thumped off his cell. Brendan grinned brightly. "Are we done?" "We are not done," John said firmly from above. He leaned down and dug his chin into the crown of Brendan's head. "So very not done." There were certain things that Brendan would not do, not even for the band. One of those things was signing a paper that stated he would never, under any circumstances, break Spencer's heart, thanks very much, Ryan, because no one could guarantee something like that. And he was sleeping with Spencer, but he wasn't sleeping with him, and John and Ryan didn't seem to get that distinctive difference. So all the talking to really did was make Brendan antsy. He stayed up late with Ryan to work on lyrics or whatever, but he mostly just bounced his legs and nodded a lot and thought about the unreadable look Spencer tossed him before going to bed. After midnight, after he'd changed into his pajama bottoms, Brendan stood in the dark, still wired, by Spencer's side of the bed. He worried his fingers in the hem of his t-shirt and stared down at the lump of sleeping Spencer until Spencer's hand shot out and grabbed his thigh and tugged. Brendan yelped and tumbled onto Spencer and elbowed him in the stomach. "Ow, Bren. Your fault," Brendan chanted, scrambling over him. "Go to sleep," Spencer said, pissy, and when Brendan climbed under the covers, Spencer rolled over and wriggled until he was using Brendan's chest as a pillow, wedged into the crook of Brendan's arm. It was weird, being cuddled instead of cuddling, flat on his back with Spencer's hair tickling his chin. Nice weird. Not better exactly, but different. The whole situation started getting wildly out of control soon after the night of the reverse cuddling, and Brendan's daytimes were suddenly not as much fun as they used to be. Ryan kept sending him dirty looks and dropping notes in his lap that read, "Ask him or I'll cut off your balls," and "Brush your teeth, oh my God," and "Pete thinks you're on drugs, but whatever, it's Pete." John kept locking him in the bathroom and then sending Spencer to let him out. "Why does John keep locking you in the bathroom?" Spencer asked as Brendan spilled into the hallway for the fourth time in half as many days, pushing back the kitchen chair John wedged under the doorknob. "He knows why," John shouted from the den. "I bedazzled his favorite jacket," Brendan offered. "Take that, John Walker." Because John was an ass and blatantly eavesdropping, he squawked, "Hey," and Brendan and Spencer shared a quiet snicker. And then Spencer asked to see, and they spent the rest of the day giggling in a corner of Ryan's room, bedazzling Ryan's sneakers, socks, boxers, ties, jeans, basically anything they could get their hands on, and Brendan thought his days might not really be so bad after all. Spencer kissed him first. Spencer totally kissed him first, and it was in no way Brendan's fault, honestly. He'd been minding his own business in the kitchen, humming Alice the Camel, because Alice the Camel was a tea-making song, never mind that he was making coffee. Spencer had shuffled in, hair flat on one side and brushing over his forehead, eyes squinty and creases from Brendan's t-shirt slanted across his left cheek, and he'd moved over to where Brendan was hovering in front of the coffee pot, mug already in hand, and cupped his nape. He'd cupped his nape and turned Brendan's head with his fingers pressing just under his ear, the glandular curve of his jaw, and then he'd slid his lips along Brendan's with a soft murmur of "Mornin'." It was very clearly not Brendan's fault at all. At some point, Brendan realized the reverse cuddling was possibly problematic, not necessarily to Brendan, of course, but to others, in that Brendan was a known indiscriminate cuddler and Spencer was not. That was apparently why Ryan, who'd witnessed the sleepy morning kiss with a strange mixture of smugness and must kill Brendan now in his eyes, stepped up his campaign for Brendan to just make an honest man out of Spencer already. The handwritten notes were replaced with baffling text messages from Pete that involved walruses and blossoming organs and John Mellencamp lyrics, typically without any punctuation, and Brendan thought maybe he was warning him not to knock Spencer up in the back seat of his car. Brendan didn't have a car, though, so he didn't think that'd be an issue. Then John laid out a spaghetti dinner for two and locked them both in the kitchen, although the kitchen didn't actually have a door, and he made a barricade out of an overstuffed armchair and the coffee table, and Brendan finally broke down and said, "Okay, so I wasn't going to do this." Spencer twirled his fork in the noodles and asked, "Do what?" "I wasn't going to," he waved a hand between them, "do this." Spencer arched his eyebrows. "You sleep with me." "Yes, I know, I sleep with you, but we aren't..." Oh, wait. "Hang on just a damn minute." Spencer had not seemed particularly surprised by the dinner. Spencer had poured Brendan a glass of fruit punch and taken the garlic bread out of the oven. Spencer, Brendan should have remembered, was observant and smart and collected and sneaky and a known finicky cuddler, and Brendan was an idiot. "Spencer Smith," Brendan asked, brow furrowed. "Are you asking me out?" Spencer's eyes were sharp and intense, and he leaned back in his seat, fingers light on the edge of the table. "We are out," he said slowly. Brendan would argue the fact that they weren't technically even out of the house, except he didn't really want to argue with Spencer. Apparently, Spencer as a sexual being was not solely based on the cock of his hips, but also on his rather nice blue eyes and pretty mouth. His quiet competence was kind of sexy, too. And Brendan was sleeping with him. Awesome. "So apparently I'm sleeping with Spencer." Ryan rubbed a hand over his face and blinked up at him. "Okay, have we gone back in time? Seriously, Brendan, what the fuck?" "So," Brendan shifted back and forth on his feet. "So I'm nervous, all right? It's allowed." "I'm going back to sleep now," Ryan said, rolling over and shoving his head under his pillow. Brendan poked his shoulder. "A lot." Ryan, no, you've got to—" "Spencer," Ryan shouted, slapping the wall over his head with the flat of his palm. "Spencer, come get your boyfriend before I kill him." Holy shit. Spencer, it seemed, had made an honest man out of him. He really hadn't seen that coming. Spencer clasped their hands together and pulled him from Ryan's room, and Brendan went docilely down the short hall, but stumbled and caught himself on Spencer's door jamb, fingers gripping the frame. "Okay, wait." Spencer rolled his eyes. "Brendan," he started, stopped, and then their second kiss was also all Spencer's fault, even if Brendan was the one who'd leaned forward and fit his mouth over Spencer's, only slightly parted and night shy, and he'd licked his lips and Spencer's, and Spencer cupped his neep again, tighter this time, and Brendan grinned without letting go. John smiled at them from over the rim of his coffee cup. "What?" Brendan yawned, rubbing a hand under his nose. Next to him, Spencer had his bare feet tucked underneath Brendan's thigh, back curved and knees bent, forehead resting on Brendan's shoulder and his hands up his shirt, one pressed flat along the small of his back, the other fisted on his stomach. Spencer was bendy. Brendan liked that about him. "Nothing," John said, and Spencer made a sleepy snuffle grunt sound that was possibly the cutest thing Brendan had ever heard ever, and John laughed. "No, seriously, that's just," he shook his head, "adorable. You two are adorable." Brendan slipped his fingers into Spencer's hair, tugged lightly. "Dude, I know. Brendan by himself was fucking adorable, puppy cute even, because come on. But Brendan and Spencer together? Kittens would be jealous." John's brows shot up. "Kittens, John," Brendan stressed. And Spencer chuffed a laugh, the hand on his stomach relaxing to tug at the waistband of Brendan's pajama bottoms. "Baskets of kittens," Spencer murmured. And Brendan could tell he was smiling. "Baskets of kittens and puppies and baby seals." "That's what I'm saying," Brendan said, and pressed his lips to the top of Spencer's head. The end.